Hello, greetings, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel once again. So in this video, I'm going to be asking why Germany is so egregiously circumspect about helping the Ukrainians defend themselves. Because there is a news item out today, but it's not been officially confirmed by Germany, that they're saying that they shan't object if Poland wishes to donate Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine. Leopard 2 tanks, of course, of German manufacture. So the German foreign minister, Anna Baerbock, has said that they won't gainsay this move. But then there's another prominent German government source says, well, actually, we've had no formal request for this. But for weeks, people have been talking about, will these German tanks be delivered? Now, I mean, I'm no military person, as you will know, and I don't know anything about tanks, but apparently these are superb. The only ones in the world that might be better than them are the Abrams American tanks, that 1982 design. But the thing is, about a dozen European countries already possess Leopard 2s. There are about 2,000 of them in Europe. So there wouldn't be a very long distance to move them. And they're just easier to maintain because the M1 Abrams tanks, this is what I've heard the military pundits say, that they're very heavy and some bridges would break under them. And they really chart the roads. They use jet fuel, which is not so widely available. They're real gas guzzlers. The Leopard 2s are not quite as heavy, and they're much more fuel efficient. And they're easier to maintain. Whereas the other ones, the Abrams ones, the American ones, you'd have to inspect them and repair them more frequently. And it's very tricky to do so. So and training people to a tank crew, I'm told this takes, you know, something like 6 months typically. But, you know, they did a sort of an 80-hour week. They could condense that into less. Bear in mind, these Ukrainian soldiers are already tankers, so would know some of the fundamentals, which apparently are applicable to different models. So, and as the situation is urgent, they might cut a few corners. So the 6 months could be compressed into 2 months or something like that, which might be just in time to stop the Russian spring offensive. Bearing in mind, had we armed the Ukrainians to the teeth a year ago, this war might not have started. And even if it had, they might have won it by now. If we'd armed them several months ago, it might be over. So some people were singing in the vein of John Lennon, is all we are saying is give peace a chance. And if you're bad, I'll sing again. Okay, so but all they're doing is going to be giving Putin a chance. He clearly doesn't want peace. He wants capitulation. And there were European Union leaders like Emmanuel Macron, who was bending over backwards to accommodate him and saying, you know, Russia mustn't be humiliated. Obviously, I think that the Putin regime should have its snout rubbed in the mire. I'm also not Russophobic in the least. And they'll always try that, the Moscow regime, and say you're Russophobic for telling the truth, Russophobic for helping victims of the Putin regime. No, that's not anti-Russian. Putin's anti-Russian. I mean, look how many people he's killed even with his own country. Look at the wide-scale use of torture. Look at the detention of political prisoners. Look at him depriving them of their constitutional rights. Look how much he and his cronies have stolen from Russian people. So it's not actually Russophobic to uphold the law, to say that, you know, his regime cheats even the Olympics and things, quite apart from the numerous atrocities they committed in their illegal war of aggression against Ukraine. But anyway, why is Germany so cautious about this? Partly because they'll be thrown back in the face by Russia. Da-da-da, Nazis, Nazis, Nazis. So anyone who doesn't go along with Putin's genuinely fascist regime is a fascist, according to them. The Second World War, yes, okay, the Second World War happened. Nobody disputes that. Nobody said more mea culpas than Deutschland, right? And it's just racist to say that Germany is always in the wrong. Can a German be innocent? Of course they can be. So most countries have invaded other countries, and most countries are responsible for atrocities. And all right, Germany's record of the 1940s is really egregiously bad. But it's wrong to penalize Germans generations later. So nobody alive now had any role in leadership. Some of them were teenage soldiers, are still alive now at the time. And this is preposterous that Germany can never be proactive in defending human rights because of the Second World War. That's completely illogical. But that will be thrown over. They're quite sensitive about this. Said we had too many wars, the First World War, Second World War. We were really sick of war. But obviously, Germany is not a pacifist. There is a significant pacifist movement. And they promised never to have nuclear weapons. They could easily afford them. There's also this sort of idea of Ostpolitik. Remember, a quarter of Germany was under effectively Soviet rule for 45 years. And though some people are anti-communist, there's a bit of Ostalgie, who people think was a bit better. Angela Merkel, she grew up in that system, though she actually became part of the Christian Democratic Union, the CDU, the party which was the centre-right party. Now, the Social Democratic Party, obviously they weren't communists and so on, but they weren't maybe as anti-communist as the CDU. And there's simply a matter of cheap oil and gas. There was a Fukushima disaster in Japan in 2010, a nuclear power station. At that moment, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, she was going to phase out nuclear energy. And so Mutti did so. And in a way, that was a fatal mistake, because I don't think a single person had ever been killed by a nuclear disaster in Germany or France or several other countries. But yeah, there had been some high-profile ones, which meant they had a much greater need for oil and gas that they then started purchasing from Russia. So it was a bonanza for the Russian oil and gas sector, but it made them overly reliant on this energy source. And Putin thought he can get away with things because he can switch off the heating in Europe in midwinter. Now, that hasn't worked for him, partly because there's been an unusually mild winter, though it doesn't feel like that at the moment in London. And obviously, they've diversified their energy sources. So it's partly legacy of the Second World War. That's one reason. Another one is some Germans, particularly in the East, have a bit of a soft spot for Russia, even though Russia is not the Soviet Union. Ukraine is also a successor state of the Soviet Union. Russia certainly does not practice communism. It very much is a regressive capitalist society, a bandit capitalist society, not a free market capitalist society. But there's this delusion that somehow it embodies some sort of positive spirit of communism, as in communalism, as in sharing and caring and abolishing poverty. What else is there? There's this genuine pacifism and some sort of self-interest. They want the cheap oil and gas as well. And they would like to dial down the rhetoric. They'd like to find a peaceful solution. And there's a reluctance that actually there is no peaceful solution. It's really peace through strength. And all these massacres are going on. And, you know, Putin is not amenable to sweet reason. He has no better nature to appeal to. The only way to stop this is by making it so costly for him that he ends the war, by defeating him, in which case the Ukrainians have got to be armed to the teeth. And the Germans also had an unhappy experience in Afghanistan for 20 years as a NATO member, because the United States invoked Article 5 of the NATO Charter, thereby obligating Germany to dispatch troops to Afghanistan, where they fought for 20 years. And NATO extricated itself with little glory. And obviously, that's fallen to the Taliban. So does war really work? People are talking about the futility of war. It's just nihilistic. And there's obviously the cost of sending weapons. And actually, Germany has sent more than the UK. But then Germany's population is a bit bigger, the economy is bigger and so on, can afford a bit more generous. They've obviously accommodated hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian refugees. So these are some reasons why Germany is more reluctant to send these weapons. They also said, well, we need the Leopard 2 tanks for us. Well, that's a specious argument, because they wouldn't be German ones. They'd be ones they sold to Poland and others that would be donated. And there's a risk that Poland was going to donate them anyway. But when they purchased them, the Poland, part of the export agreement is they would not sell them on to third parties to give them away unless they had the express permission of the German government. So the Ukrainians said they need 300 to make sure that they beat Russia. But I don't think that would make sure they beat Russia. It'd certainly help. So there are over 2,000 worldwide, but a great majority of them are in Europe. There was that big Ramstein Air Base meeting in Germany, where this Ukraine contact group, those military donors, were discussing it. So the Poles were initially talking about donating 14 of these Leopard 2 tanks, helping inspire others. And the Americans weren't willing to donate any. The Americans say, well, the Germans said, well, if the Americans give some of their Abrams tanks, then we might allow the Leopard 2 tanks to be given. I mean, for various reasons I've adumbrated here and before, the Abrams tanks are thought to be not the most apposite tank for the Ukrainian theater. But anyway, I thought it would be great if the Americans just gave some of those anyway, so that to obviate the Germans using that excuse. What else was I going to point out? Yeah, I thought if Germany's not going to give military equipment, well, they're giving some, but not going to give tanks. And if they at least give the green light of the Leopard 2. But whether they do or not, say, if you're not going to give military equipment, what can you give? Money? You can pay more of the bills and donate other things to help the Ukrainians live through the winter, electric generators, even things as basic as torches, those battery packs you can charge up, you know, when the electricity is going to use when it cuts out, Arctic tents, absolute zero snow suits, anything else that's going to help them, sleeping bags, including two-person sleeping bags to help them survive the winter. That's what I'd be saying to them. Anyway, make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.